The year had barely started when the parent company of Maui's HC&S Sugar Plantation, Alexander & Baldwin, announced it would close by year's end. 675 plantation employees would lose their jobs, and so might vendors who depend on HC&S. As to the land, the company said it was looking at a transition to diversified agriculture. During the legislative session, A&B also announced it would restore flow to some East Maui streams for taro farmers, just about the time a water rights bill moved into conference. The bill moved into law in June, allowing a holdover of current water lease permits while the final dispensation of the leases were pending. With 4 months left until the year does in fact end and HC&S closes, there are still many questions unanswered, and we asked A&B's CEO to join us to talk about some of them. Chris Benjamin is in our studio this morning. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
First of all, to the employees, some of them were already let go in March. Others continue to be let go, and it will complete by the end of the year. What's the status of their re-employment now? How many have been re-employed?
Well, you know, it's going pretty well. It's obviously one of the biggest concern we had when we made the announcement that we had to shut down the plantation was the transition for our employees. And so we've gone to great lengths to set up not only assistance with the actual transition. We have 4 transition coordinators who are working with our employees on outplacement, on finding new jobs, or facilitating their retirement if that's what they want to do. And we've also worked very closely with the union to ensure enhanced severance benefits. And so we're doing everything we can. But as you can imagine, trying to find new employment for almost 700 people is a challenge. We have so far laid off about 40% of the workforce, so just under a few hundred people. And about 100 of those have found, or just under 100, have found new jobs already. A number of them are still working with our transition coordinators, and a number of them have chosen to retire. So it's a work in progress, and our transition coordinator services will be available through next year, because we do recognize that it won't happen immediately. But a couple things that I think are working in our favor and the employees' favor is that, first of all, the economy is still pretty strong. And there is still a fair amount of demand for workers. And these are tremendous, tremendous people. They're hard workers, both skilled and unskilled. They have, the jobs they've had at HC&S have demanded a level of dedication that new employers are very happy to have and welcome into their workforce.
You're talking about field workers, but mechanics, scientists, administrative folks. I mean, not everybody is in one particular area. Some may have an easier job or time of finding a new job than others. When we talked to the Department of Labor earlier this year, they said they would be conducting a survey of the workers to assess skill sets and interests. Did you get any data back from that?
So what that is, Beth Ann, I believe that what you're referring to is the skills inventory that they do with each employee as they transition out of the company. And so that's an ongoing process. They have been working. In fact, today they will be meeting with a lot of our employees, because we have one of the next in a series of many job fairs that we've organized is happening today on Maui with several employers, I think dozens of employers today. And as part of that, the employees have the opportunity not only to meet with new employers, but to meet with the Maui Workforce Development Group, which is part of the state effort, and to sit down and go through a skills inventory to identify not only what they currently can do, but also what they might be interested in doing. And then I believe that group then tries to match that with employers who are looking for jobs. So I don't know that it's necessarily a survey from which we would get back broad results. I think it's really more at an individual level, trying to match their skills inventory with opportunities in the community.
But with your teams to also have some of that data, that could be very helpful too.
Oh, yeah.
The data is used to apply for additional federal funds as well, but that's a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
So how much interface really is there with the Department of Labor and your transition teams?
Oh, there's quite a bit. Our transition coordinators are working regularly with a number of resources. It's not just the State Department of Labor, it's also the county. We've had a tremendous collaborative effort between the county, the state, and the federal government. Of course, as you're aware, our senators were instrumental in helping us get access to trade adjustment assistance for the employees. And so it's really been a very collaborative effort, and I think there's a lot of regular communication and coordination between these groups.
Do you have any sense of how many of these employees may or may not be able to stay on Maui that have to be relocated? I mean, there may be some funds available for that, federal funds available, but in terms of uprooting one's life and having to go elsewhere in pursuit of a job, that's not a new story for a lot of people, but particularly in a small community like Maui, that would be very difficult, I would imagine.
Absolutely, and that has been one of our biggest concerns. I would say that I am more encouraged today than I was hopeful on January 6th when we announced this, because of the success that a lot of our employees have had in finding new employment on Maui. Some have relocated, actually a fairly small number so far, and we've provided assistance with that. We're providing relocation assistance when it's necessary. But so far, I'm encouraged. I can't give you a percentage. I can't predict what the outcome might be. But I have been encouraged by the pace at which people have been finding new employment so far. And I should also point out that most of the early employees to be laid off are from our farming operation. They tend to be some of the lower skilled employees. I think that as we get later in the year and some of the more high skill employees are laid off, I think they may have even more success in finding work, but that remains to be seen.
But still, as you said a little earlier in the conversation, having now laid off a little under 40 or about 40% of the workforce and approximately 100 people who have gotten jobs out of that, that's still a lot of people out of that almost 700 who are still going to be jobless, or as of the moment.
Right. I think it's a little early to project those percentages going forward. I do know that a lot of employees have chosen to take time, go back to the Philippines, for example, spend time with family, and then when they come back, they've asked to meet with a transition coordinator. So some of them are taking a break. So I don't know that we can necessarily say that out of the slightly less than 300 that have been laid off, only 100 have a job, so that means only a third. I think actually, if you look at those who have actively been looking for work, I think it's actually been a higher success rate.
So let's talk a little bit about the land. There's been a lot of speculation, and some driven by A and B as what you would do with all of this land. Has anything new surfaced in this idea of becoming, you know, diversified agriculture's, you know, best bet for Maui at the moment, beyond some of what we heard before, where it might be going to maybe some biofuel or maybe some small farms, or maybe there would be cattle grazing, you know, the same things that we've been talking about now for months. Has anything else beyond that surfaced in all these ensuing months that you've been looking at options?
Well, some new ideas have surfaced. I think the one thing that I want to start with is taking one thing off the table. I think there's been speculation that all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of new development on Maui because of this. None of these lands are going to be developed, probably in my lifetime. These are agricultural zone lands. These are lands that are, we have developments elsewhere on Maui. None of the development activity that we have in the foreseeable future is on land that is farmed by HCNS. So I just want to put that on the side and say that we are absolutely committed to trying to find agricultural uses for these lands, because that is the highest and best use. We have had tremendous outpouring of interest and support and inquiries from a wide range of parties that want to do different sorts of agriculture, some on 100 acres, some on 15,000 acres. It is quite a process of trying to sift through those things and figure out what has the most potential. There are some things that we're already doing. We're already fencing a lot of land for cattle pasture. We think that we can play a very positive role on Maui by supporting the existing cattle ranches, providing irrigated pastures where they can finish their cattle on island rather than shipping them to the mainland. We think it's a good thing for them. We think it's a good thing for the community. Other uses are still quite varied. There are a lot of the things that you mentioned. I guess if I had to give a short answer, which would be that it's too early to tell. There hasn't been a particular breakthrough or a particular solution that's emerged. But we're
no sense of we're going to be carving it up into X amount of parcels, or this is what size it would have to be for someone to be able to deal with it, that you're not going to be driven by the consumer, perhaps, but more.
Oh, I think we're going to be very driven by the consumer in the sense that we want to make whatever can work on Maui work. And I think one of the first things we're going to do is work with the county on an ag park where people could come in and get half acre, 5 acres, really, and work with the county on that so that people
right.
will
have
those.
Right, so there's no minimum size.
There's no minimum.
Okay. Got to move on with you a little bit. with what happened with the water rights bill, mm-hmm. with the fact that A&B said that you would be releasing water back into streams or certain streams in East Maui, what may happen with the land, what may happen with a lot of these employees, all of this goes back to what's the relationship now, or what is becoming the relationship between A&B and Maui. How do you characterize that, and how do you see that perhaps changing? Certainly the position of A&B has changed in no longer being the company that it was.
Well, I think that we are absolutely 100% committed to Maui, and I think this is a great opportunity for us. You know, one of the things about the plantation environment was that sugar plantations depended on scale. They depended on having as much land, as much water, as much throughput as possible. And that's why the last sugar plantation the plantation that survived the longest was the largest. It was HCNS. Now that we're moving out of that model, we have the ability to be a lot more flexible, a lot more diversified in the use of the land, do crop rotation, have better enhancement of soil, things that were not always possible given the very pressing need for high throughput in the sugar business. So I think we have an opportunity. And similarly, we have an opportunity to engage with the community and make sure that we're finding solutions that strike the right balance. And I'm actually very optimistic that more water will be going into the streams in the near term. I don't think we'll ever divert or need to divert as much water as we did in the past. And I think that if we can have these conversations and if we can engage with the community, it can actually end up being a very positive outcome for the island, even though I will always emphasize that it was a very sad decision that we had to make, and we do feel very strongly for our employees and want to make sure that they find good transitions.
Chris Benjamin, I wish we had more time to talk, but I know we plan to do that sometime in the very near future.
I look forward to it.
Have you on Town Square. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
Chris Benjamin is President and Chief Executive Officer of Alexander & Baldwin.